from Public Health Institute, welcome to the PHI CDC Global Health Podcast, a new podcast that highlights stories from the PHI CDC Global Health Fellowship Program, a U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention funded program implemented by the Public Health Institute. Our fellows are guided by CDC Global Health experts and work on the front lines of global health, developing the technical and professional skills needed to make meaningful contributions to today's global health challenges. I'm your host, Whitney Hall, the program's administration and communications specialist. Today, our guest is Mike Sage, MPH. Mike is the program director for the PHI CDC Global Health Fellowship Program and holds a number of other roles in public health. Mike is especially passionate about environmental health, and he spent over 30 years working at CDC in various leadership roles and capacities, which you'll learn a lot more about during our interview together. All right. Well, welcome, Mike. Thanks so much for joining the podcast today. I'm really excited to have you on.
It's great to be here. Look forward to talking with you, Whitney.
Wonderful. So yeah, let's just get right into it. As the program director of the PHI CDC Global Health Fellowship Program, what does your role involve?
A number of activities. I think the first role I see myself having is as the champion for the program within CDC and with our public health partners. I try to really promote the program and promote the fellowships and try to increase opportunities and talk as much as I can about the accomplishments of the fellows. Activity that I see as a priority is supporting the team that actually, like yourself and the other members of the team, that really are staff that support the fellows and make sure the program works. Then working with mentors and with CDC programs to try to ensure that communications and the best experience of the fellows, and just ensuring that it's as good of a experience as possible for fellows, and in these times, to be sure it's a safe experience also in the time of COVID.
Yes. I know you're involved in several other projects besides the fellowship program. Can you share a brief overview of the other projects you work on and the roles that you hold right now?
Sure. I'm just starting as a coach for two teams in the National Leadership Academy for the Public Health, which is also a part of the Public Health Institute. The teams are Louisville, Kentucky, and Washington, D.C. The teams are focused on primary prevention of lead poisoning in children, trying to eliminate all sources of lead from the environment. This is really a kind of a pilot project for the National Center for Environmental Health, who wants to promote an initiative, a national initiative, on primary prevention of lead poisoning and eliminating all sources of lead from children's environment. So that's going to take up some of my time in the next year. I also help advise with Crystal Flexman, who's the development officer at PHI, help advise on strategies with inside CDC and programmatic strategies with PHI. As a volunteer, I serve as the executive director of Stop TB USA, which is a small advocacy group trying to promote the elimination of tuberculosis in the United States. And I continue, though not as active as I used to be a few years ago, in household air pollution and global air pollution activities with the Implementation Science Network at the National Institutes of Health.
Wow. Okay. Well, you have a very busy schedule. And I know you have a lot of experience with environmental health. What first drew you to public health? Was it something you always knew you wanted to pursue, or was it a more gradual realization?
Well, I was actually very lucky to have a mentor in college as a professor. I was actually very interested in plant biology. I was in a plant genetics program in college, and my professor thought that I might have more of an interest in public health, actually. It might be a better fit for me. So he introduced me to an epidemiologist at CDC, who I started to do an internship with one summer while I was in college, and ended up at CDC right after college, and was there for 34 years. In numerous assignments, but I started with CDC in rural North Carolina, working in communicable disease control efforts with migrant health clinics, and then CDC actually sent me for my master's degree in public health at the University of North Carolina, and then I was for almost 10 years in what's called field operations. So I worked in St. Louis for about 2 years. I worked for about a year in Texas. I went to Puerto Rico and worked at Caribbean Operations and ran the immunization program there for 3 years. And then I went to San Francisco to the regional office of the Public Health Service and was there for almost 3 years before I returned to CDC. So it was really at the urging of a professor that I went into public health.
Did you keep in contact with that professor at all?
I sure do. He's still alive. His name is Charette Chase. He is 96 years old now.
Wow.
And he still runs a conservation effort along the Hudson River in New York. And is still very active.
Wow, that's incredible. Was your undergrad in Atlanta?
At Syracuse University.
Oh, okay.
In the School of Environmental Sciences and Forestry was my undergraduate. And then my MPH was from the University of North Carolina.
So the internship you did with the epidemiologist from CDC, was that in, that must have been in Syracuse also then?
No, that was actually in Africa.
Oh, okay.
So I got to spend some a part of my summer seeing if I'd be interested in public health with him in Africa, and that's what really got my interest and mm-hmm. applied for a job at the time, and now their CDC is back to this, but at the time they had a very large field operations domestically in the United States, mm-hmm. where they hired people right out of college, and you got experience like on the job, really almost more on the job experience working in local public health, and that's how I started my career.
Okay, wow, that's so interesting. Well, you have so much history with CDC. You're saying 34 years. And you're also, I mean, you kind of inspired this podcast because you have so many stories about CDC. So I would love to hear how your roles at CDC changed over time and when you were first introduced to global health. I mean, it sounds like with global health, kind of right off the bat with your experience abroad. But just kind of how your roles at CDC evolved over the years.
Yeah, you know, even though I did an internship that involved some time overseas, it wasn't until I went to the Caribbean where I started getting more involved in global health activities. Most of my work was in Puerto Rico, which is considered a domestic assignment, but we did a lot of work throughout the Caribbean. So it was a mix of a domestic and a global assignment. But then I really didn't get back to global health until like 20 years later. I went back when I went from Puerto Rico to San Francisco. The assignment in San Francisco was to be a public health planner, in which I was working with the state of California and the Sixth Army to develop what was then called the California Earthquake Plan. And I was the planner, I guess is the best way to put it, for the health, what was called emergency support function number 8, which was health and medical services. Interestingly enough, in the 1990s, that California Earthquake Plan turned as the framework into the framework of what we now call the National Response Plan of the United States, with all the emergency support functions that FEMA and all the federal agencies and most state agencies follow as the emergency preparedness and response plan for the United States. I returned from San Francisco at a time when the Cold War was ending, to the National Center for Environmental Health, which is where I had always wanted to work. My interest had always remained in environmental health. So when I returned to Atlanta, where I spent the rest of my career, that was in 1989, I started in something with a guy named Jim Smith, something called the Radiation Studies Program. And this was an effort to take a look at the nuclear weapons complex of the United States. As the Cold War was ending, all the declassification of documents was occurring. And it was apparent that there were concerns in communities around the nuclear weapons complex, which is 17 facilities around the United States, that there might be potential exposures to communities over the years and whether any of their health concerns were related to those exposures. So we began a whole series of studies across the country. That was actually my longest serving position at CDC, was in radiation studies. As I started moving up my career, I got the opportunity to be a associate director for policy and planning at the National Center for Environmental Health, and where I focused on what is now the National Asthma Program, the National Environmental Health Tracking Program, the National Biomonitoring Program of the NCEH laboratories, and a number of other activities that we were trying to promote at the time. End of the 1990s was happening, there became more and more concern around potential terrorist activities. So I got involved at CDC in developing the first national strategic plan for biological, chemical, and radiological terrorism events. This was 1999, so 2 years before 9/11. At the end of that period of time, I was still working as associate director for policy and planning and environmental health, and 9/11 happened. And as 9/11 unfolded, I was very involved with the center in managing the CDC response to 9/11. And then as the anthrax attacks on the media in New York unfolded, I was a guy named Steve Osteroff, who was the epidemiologist, and myself were the people who were leading the effort in New York by CDC to investigate the anthrax attacks. And when I returned to CDC, the new director from those assignments, the new director of CDC was a woman by the name of Julie Gerberding. She was just starting what was at the time called the Office of Terrorism Preparedness and Emergency Response. And a guy named Joe Henderson and myself, Joe became the director and I became the deputy director of that office, which today is now called the Center for Public Health Preparedness. So that's kind of how my career evolved at CDC over a 25-year period of time. And then I worked in the Office of Director of CDC on extramural programs. And then my last couple of years, I went back to environmental health where my real interests were. And that's when I really started getting back to global health and started working on global air pollution and health issues.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea you had so much experience in terrorism and health as well.
Yes, most of my career.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Well, that's really interesting to hear about. I mean, given that you have so much field experience, and worked in so many different capacities in CDC, are there particular lessons that stand out, especially from those field assignments that you've had over the years?
Yeah, I think the benefit of that experience was that you learned each, and you were deeply connected, really, to each component of the public health system. So you started out very much in the local public health, working local issues, working with local health departments and community groups. Then you moved into working with state health departments and their leadership role in public health within states and territories in the United, such as in Puerto Rico, and then moving from there to the regional office of the Public Health Service, where you really got a perspective of how the federal system interacted with the state and local system, public health system, and then back to CDC, where you really focused, were able to focus on CDC, you know, the CDC programs. The experience that built up to that, though, that time of returning to CDC really gave you an in-depth understanding of local, state, regional, USPHS, public health, and the whole system and how it worked. And then, including in that, you got to really work closely with all the partners, such as ASTO, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers, and all the different organizations that support public health. So you got a really well-rounded experience of the whole system before you went back to CDC and focused on CDC efforts.
I've heard you also talk about the Clean Cook Stoves program quite a bit. Are there any stories that stand out that you're most proud of? Or maybe you could give our listeners a little bit of an overview for people who don't know what that program was.
Sure. The global, so there's an organization that's part of the United Nations Foundation that's called the Global Alliance for Clean Cook Stoves. And actually, it changed its name just recently to the Global Alliance for Clean Cooking. The reason this is important is that about over half the world's population still cooks on either three stone fires or very primitive kind of stoves in homes, inside their homes around the world. And this is one of the leading causes of childhood pneumonia, as well as numerous other health conditions. And so what CDC's effort in this was, and what I was involved in, was trying to evaluate new cooking methods and cooking technology in various projects around the world, looking at in communities what might work in supporting women and families in improving the household air pollution that affected their health. So I think the story that's out of that, that's one of the most interesting one, is in Kenya, where we did a very large evaluation in a number of villages on the coast of Lake Victoria, and what we came away with is the premise for years, for 40 years, in trying to improve cook stoves, was that we could make cook stoves clean and safe, and they would be used by women, meaning we could take what's called biomass stoves, cooking in wood and dung and crop residue, and make them clean, and they would be the solution. Well, it turned out that that's a lot harder to do than we realized in all our evaluations. And we started to switch to a combination where we tried to promote making the available clean, such as liquid petroleum gas, LPG. In the United States, we call it propane. Starting to see if we could make that more available, because we knew that was clean. And the lessons learned out of that are now being used in these programs around the world, trying to focus in on as clean of technologies as possible.
That's great. That yeah, the program is still going on. How long has that program been around then?
It was started in 2012, I think it was.
Okay.
So there were lots of efforts in trying to promote clean cooking prior to this. Mm-hmm. The problem and the reality is many of them failed. And the Global Alliance hasn't failed at all, but the challenge is so big that I believe years away from saying that they were really successful in meeting their goal. They continue to work to that goal.
In this next part of our interview, Mike discusses his experience with mentorship, highlights of the PHI CDC Global Health Fellowship Program, and shares advice for listeners interested in pursuing a longer-term career at CDC and making a lasting impact in the field of public health.
Well, since part of the fellowship program is CDC mentorship, are there any mentors you've had? It sounds like your professor and to some extent who turned you on to public yes. health, but are there any mentors you've had that really stand out as influential in your career from either from CDC or other organizations?
Paul Wiesner, who was the epidemiologist I was able to work with before I even started at CDC, gave me good advice through time. Specifically, though, I think there's a person that was, his name is Jack Jackson. Still keep in contact with Jack also. Jack really, and another person named Wendell Bradford, they both gave me good career advice on how to think about moving forward in my career at CDC. Because one of the first things you have to decide is are you going to stay with CDC or are you going to move to another, public health organization, or are you going to even stay in public health? But I decided early on I'd be staying with CDC, and they helped me a lot in thinking about how to gather the experiences that would move me through my career with ever more responsibilities, and so finding mentors that are willing to engage and continue to engage over time is I think one of the challenges that anybody has in trying to find and work with mentors,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Besides our program, I know there are many different fellowship opportunities available in public health and even at CDC. What stands out that makes our fellowship program different?
One, it's focused on global health. At CDC, it's the only global health fellowship program. So that's a big, and when CDC decided to have a cooperative agreement specifically for global health, that was a big step. Though there were global health fellows prior to this, they were all part of a domestic program, which sometimes would have global health assignments associated with it. This is really a focus on global health and people. Fellows that are interested in exploring whether a career in global health is what they're really after. There are a lot of career opportunities at CDC in fellowships. Most of those are very specific to a certain discipline, such as epidemiology or laboratory science, or informatics, or health economics. They're very discipline oriented, discipline focused, I should say. Where this fellowship program is five tracks that gives hopefully a broad experience from epidemiology to management to monitoring and evaluation, and all in the area of global health. That's, I think, what makes it unique.
And I heard you say, you know, early on you had decided you wanted to, you know, stay on at CDC long term. What advice do you have for people interested in either the fellowship or current fellows or young professionals, so like MPH students interested in pursuing a longer term career with CDC?
I think fellowship programs at CDC are a good way to get to know CDC and whether you want to have a career with CDC or not. What I saw as the opportunity and why I wanted to stay with CDC, and what I tell fellows and other program staff at CDC, why I stayed with CDC 34 years and why I continue to work with CDC, is that it was one within one organization, I could have multiple careers. I got all kinds of different experiences that people spend whole careers on just that one experience. Probably five or six different careers within one organization. So if you're looking for an organization that allows you to really explore lots of different opportunities, and lots of different avenues, but not leave the organization, CDC is very, very, very good for that as an experience. You can also focus, which most of the scientists often do, you very, very focus on a particular, you know, public health challenge or a disease or a virus or a specific, you know, a very specific public health science issue, and stay in that issue the whole time, your whole career, which many of the scientists at CDC do. That is, you know, that's their career, and because they're interested in exploring very specific molecular genetics or you know, a field that has very technical, and you can also do that at CDC. So it gives you a wide berth of kind of opportunities. I think you have to consider, you also have to be very flexible at CDC and willing to jump into challenges like we're dealing with COVID right now, and just work 24/7 when you have to address that challenge. And a lot of people learn that emergency kind of work is not really for them, but getting that experience is the way you learn whether you want to do it as a career or not.
Yeah, was the emergency work that you did, I mean, it seems like it was more related to terrorism, like response to 9/11 and anthrax. And
well, it started with earthquakes.
Oh, right, yes.
And natural disasters and hurricanes and floods, but started with earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And then because of the politics and the what was going on geopolitically at the time, the concerns around terrorism came, especially biological terrorism, came to the forefront. And then what's happened since then, since 9/11, is all of what were little pieces of emergency response activities, either response to epidemics or outbreak response in a community or earthquakes or floods or terrorism events, are now really under a whole broad framework at CDC that is emergency preparedness and response. And even though people from across CDC work in all those areas of specialties, there at times, like with COVID, where the emergency response function is all of CDC and draws on all of CDC to respond to whatever the current crisis is. And pandemic is something that we've been planning for a while, and is now CDC is in the middle of, and most people at CDC at this point in time, including our fellows, have over the year worked in COVID response in some way, even if that wasn't their job.
Yes, it's definitely making a big impact. You spoke to this a little bit in terms of flexibility at CDC, but are there other qualities or characteristics like soft skills or technical skills that you recommend in terms of just people, young professionals like fellows in our program, achieving kind of longevity in the field of public health?
CDC managers will tell you that the soft skills are very important to enhance in your working with others. There are lots of people and most people at CDC have high technical skills and are very good at developing technical skills. But the soft skills, the working with people, how to work effectively on teams, and how to collaborate across agencies and across departments and across CDC as well as the rest of public health and global health are all skills. Something called health diplomacy, it really is a soft skill, but it's an important skill to have if you're going to be working in global health. Understanding cultural context in your work is all those are important. And people who have those skills generally do very, very well at CDC. People who communicate well, writing and in public speaking, also is a highly sought after skill set that doesn't necessarily relate maybe to a specific technical skill, but people who can communicate well are sought after at CDC. I think the new director at CDC, from what the little bit I've seen of her so far, one of the reasons I think she was probably selected is she seems to have very, very high communication skills.
Interesting. Well, you talked about the pandemic a little bit, but I'm just curious how you anticipate COVID-19 impacting the field of global health in the next few years. I know that's a broad question.
There's the immediate issue of controlling the epidemic and the pandemic in the United States and around the world. So there's a couple of things associated with that that are really going to affect global public health in the United States and global health. One is to, the control efforts that need to be put in place and how they affect the current public health system. And there's a great worry around other public health issues that we've been dealing with for centuries, like tuberculosis most immediately childhood immunization programs all around the world all not being as productive as they were, and in some cases not even happening now, and what that may mean for future outbreaks of childhood measles and rubella and all the diseases that we've been working so hard to try to control and global health. True in the United States also is more numbers of people whose children aren't getting vaccinated right now because of COVID is a real concern. And that will result in us having to revisit those programs in global health once we've controlled COVID and get back to reestablishing what may have been a good program and now has to get a refocus on because of problems with trying to control the COVID pandemic. I think there are some real opportunities though. Also, has pointed out great needs in the United States around public health infrastructure, the need to increase surveillance for public health. The need to have more active response mechanisms, the need to have vaccination programs that are robust and in place, the need to have stockpiles of protective gear and medicines and vaccines. All of those, I think, will continue to be supported over the next few years. And that provides a lot of opportunity, a lot of growth for people coming into the field of public health right now. So from that standpoint, I see that there's a lots of opportunities as a result of the COVID pandemic, as there is lots of challenges in trying to respond to the epidemic, trying to respond to you're seeing more and more reports around the world of increased lack of access to food and food security being a huge issue related because of COVID. That results in all kinds of other health related issues. Those are all going to be things that we're going to have to respond to as we deal with the COVID epidemic.
Right. Yes. Many, many big challenges, but also lots of opportunities.
Lots of opportunities
to impact people. Yeah. well, great, Michael. Was there anything else that you wanted to add, just about your time at CDC or the fellowship program?
No. Just that it's the CDC as a career, if that's where your interests are, is a great place to work. And all the challenges of working in a big organization are also there. You know, mm-hmm. But also there's a chance to have a very diverse career and a very productive one in which you really see that you're helping, you know?
Right. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for being on the podcast today and sharing with listeners all your experience and perspective. It's really valuable. So
thanks, Whitney.
Thank you to our guest, Mike Sage, and all of you for tuning in to the PHI CDC Global Health Podcast. This podcast is a project of the PHI CDC Global Health Fellowship Program, which is implemented by the Public Health Institute and its partner Consortium of Universities for Global Health for the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Please join us next time as we share more fellowship stories. To learn more about our program and see how we are making meaningful contributions to today's global health challenges, visit our website at phi-cdcfellows.org. If you enjoy the podcast, you can always subscribe or rate us and leave a review. We love to see those, and it helps others find the podcast. For questions, please email us at info@phi-cdcfellows.org. This podcast is produced by Whitney Hall. Thank you to Mike Sage, Christian Caraballo, Jasdeep Dulay, Natasha Alcas, Rora Michael, Christine Jolly, CDC's Center for Global Health, PHI, and CGH.